this growth that we're seeing and all this consumer spending and all this good stuff that you're seeing, don't forget, there's also another number that's going along with that.
This is the PMP Industry Insider Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome out to another episode of the PMP Industry Insider Podcast, where we take a look at what is changing in the pest and lawn industries, and we take you to the front lines to those that are driving those changes. As always, I'm Donnie Shelton, owner of Triangle Home Services, which has Triangle Pest and Triangle Lawn. And with me is the man of all accounting knowledge and further light knowledge, Mr. Dan Gordon. Dan, would you like to say, it's actually afternoon. Say good afternoon. Talk about our sponsors, which would be good, and our topic, and then we can get into some fun stuff after that.
Sure. So, hello, everybody. Dan Gordon, PCO Bookkeepers, M&A Specialists. Let's see, our sponsors. If you're interested in marketing, Coal March by WorkWave. To learn more, coalmarch.com. If you're interested in industry-specific insurance for auto, general liability, workers' comp, and other, that would be PestSure, and that's PestSure.com. If you're interested in joining a PMP Industry Insider peer group, which seemed to be going very well, please visit PMPIndustryInsider.com/peer groups, or go back and listen to episode 136 for more information. And today we're talking about the eclipse.
I'm sitting here looking at the, okay. So if you're on YouTube, you can kind of like, you can kind of see what, as Dan and I were getting prepped for our podcast here, we were just chatting and my lovely wife came in and just kind of threw these on my desk. So, because I think she thinks that I'm going to look at the eclipse with my naked eye, which I probably would do. But anyway, yeah. So I now have these special viewing. It has one for your smartphone, and I don't even know how she got these things. But yes, today is the solar eclipse. It's supposed to be happening here in North Carolina. It's supposed to be happening in a couple of hours. Dan, you're in Florida today?
Yep.
Yep, so he's in Florida. Will you even see it?
I don't know. When we're done here, I'm going to the golf course, so I'll let you know. If I miss a couple putts.
We don't even know if people are going to, we don't know if people are going to hear this episode. It might even be the end of the world and we don't even know it. So who knows? Yeah. But we are definitely talking about the solar eclipse. That is not our topic, in case you want to. We're actually talking about something way more exciting, something more in here and now. And the topic is the economy here and now. And so, Dan and I actually started down this road before we were talking about this when we recorded our last episode, and we're like, we really need to do an update because a lot of the things that we predicted, a lot of things that we talked about, some were correct, some were not. At least I should speak for myself there. Dan is always correct, in case you're wondering.
This is true.
Yeah. So I thought it would be good. One of the things that we want to do in this episode is we really want to kind of catch everyone up to speed on what's going on in the economy, big picture, kind of from a macro level. And then bring it down to what that means for the pest control industry, and then kind of what to do to set up for this year, at least some recommendations on that. And we will do our best to not get interrupted by solar flares, eclipses. What else can I throw in there? Something else?
Meteorites. New Jersey, they had an earthquake the other day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly
right.
And
I live on a lake, and I was seeing all of these people sending me tsunami warnings. So.
Oh gosh. All righty. So let's get into this, Dan. We were talking about, I think last fall, and I was like, you know, every light that's showing that a recession is coming is on. Just to recap kind of that episode, we talked about how, like, you know, we had the pandemic came, the economy got completely shut down. We stopped producing, big picture. I mean, we didn't completely stop, but production and in general went way down. The government pumped a boatload of money into the economy. We started, we really didn't skip a beat that much in terms of demand because people went home and demand stayed pretty, pretty high. So then that turned into not a lot of production capability, but then just a boatload of, just a boatload of demand, which drove inflation. Yeah. Which drove inflation through the roof. And so then, you know, we were sitting back talking about, oh my gosh, price increases. We got to do price increases, doing price increase. So we did, again, at Triangle, we did a collective I would say net 30% price increase, because we talked through how in our industry, you know, they're like, oh, you know, inflation's up 8%, or oh, it's up 10%. But we showed definitively on his podcast that it was up 18% in our industry, just because when you look at the factors that are in price increases for our specific industry. So that was the case. We you know, the Fed's raised rates dramatically. It did have a slowing effect on the economy, and now we're here, and it's not.
You know, and so we were talking about this just before we got on, and we said, let's wait till we do the podcast so we could discuss it. But, you know, I was doing a little research for this, just, you know, how we do and how, you know, going out to different news wires and whatnot. And it seems like when things are going really well, everybody's nervous, right? And this isn't the only time it's happened. Remember when the housing was booming? It ultimately crashed in 2008, 2009.
Hard. It crashed very hard. Yes. Yeah,
very hard. But there were several years where everybody was like, gloom and doom. Could this really be happening? And if you got on the gloom and doom train, you missed a big upside. Yeah.
Right.
Did it come crashing down? It did. You had the same thing with the internet bubble before that, right? After 9/11, same thing, right? So these things, we don't know when they're going to happen. We don't know, you know, are things really good or things not so good right now? But just, you know, some of the research that I did, there's signs of economic recovery. Well, I didn't know we were in a recession, right? But maybe
the bounce
we were.
Back.
Yeah, you know, consumer spending steady in many sectors. It has been, right? It didn't drop off. And there are certain reasons, like I was listening to Tesla, some of the news about EVs. Yeah, those are going down, but it's not an economic thing. It's people don't want to drive electric cars. I wouldn't drive an electric car. It's I drive back and forth from Florida. I have to file a flight plan to find electricity, right? So why would I do that, right? You know, so those are some of the things. Labor market, you know, especially in small businesses. That's kind of interesting. You tell me, can you find people to work for you?
No. You know what? It's kind of interesting. You know, the big drivers, I think, for at least, you know, there's these overall rates that get thrown out at us. And then there's kind of like what really applies to our industry. And I don't want to jump into that yet, because later in the episode, we're going to talk about that. But, you know, the thing that's been interesting is we are still hiring. Jobs have not slowed down. They've raised rates. The housing market has slowed down, but it's still going, and inflation has not stopped. Now, the rate at which it's increasing has slowed down, but it's still going, which basically means that if you did not raise prices, nor if you're not having any plans on raising, I mean, you really got to think that through. And I'm sure that folks that listen to this podcast, I'm pretty sure most did, because we just hammered that home so badly last year when it was needed and it was necessary. But I don't know, man. A lot of
people are talking about inflation still being very high. And remember, there's a new baseline. It's not going to go down.
Right.
But it's, you know, I mean, they're saying, you know, 3% is still just great. You know, they want to get it to 2%. I don't think that you can micromanage and tweak to get down to, you know, it's
five
like
percentage
my doctor
points
with blood pressure medicine. Well, take a little more and take it. You know, I'm not like you. I'm not as healthy as you. So.
Oh gosh, stop. Well, you know, the question becomes, though, is like, and here's the challenge that, and I know we're going to be kind of all over the place here, but I'm going to bring it back to pest control right now, which is, yeah, you know, okay, so. And I hear this in marketing. It drives me crazy. Like, it's an election year, you know, and what are we going to do there? But if it is 3%, which that, you know, that's the CPI, it actually is, you know, inflation's at 3%. I think CPI is like 3.6 or something like that, which, you know, who knows? But long story short, what that means is like, well, okay, what does that mean for my prices? And can my customers, like, can I get away with another price increase, especially on the backside of, I mean, assuming that you did price increases in 2023, maybe even in 2022, we did significant ones at Triangle. And so I'm just don't have the stomach. By the way, I may eat my words when I say this, but inflation goes up 3%, whatever that number is, we know that it's going to be more probably for our industry, because that 3% is like a global number. If you look at, like, I think energy was up like 4% or whatever, but that's basically eating into your profit. And like the question becomes this balance of like, how do I keep pace with inflation without, you know, jacking up my cancel rate, right? Like where I end up pricing myself out of the market, because the fact of the matter is the economy is doing what it's doing. And then there's your economy. And if your economy is not doing so well, you can quote numbers all day long, but you got to raise prices. There are going to be consequences.
Well,
you know,
you should be doing price increases every year, not just starting a couple of years ago, right? So, but the way that we do them is we say, okay, here's our acceptable dollar per hour, $150, whatever. If this customer's at $75, we double the price to get them to $150. Mm-hmm. What we've been doing over the last couple of years is raising that $150 to $160 to $170, right? And I think that that is, you know, you're capped out right there. However, you should be looking at all of your customers to make sure that they're at your acceptable mm-hmm. dollar per hour. And so even if you're fatigued from it and worried about what's going to happen, you've got to raise prices of people who are unprofitable or just get rid of them. Right?
Well, have to do that. And I think there's also another way to kind of skin the cat here as well. And, you know, let's assume that you did some big price increases and this year, much like Donnie at Triangle, you really don't have the stomach to do it again. So Dan is correct. You should always be gardening your customer base, right? You need to be looking for those folks who are draining your profit. But the other way to get this without having to do price increases is looking at your gross margin. And looking at technology and being like, okay, I can't do a price increase this year, but I also can't accept that 3% take, you know, on the bottom line from inflation either, assuming that's the number, right? Whatever that number is. So is there something in my business that I can do this year to get 3% more efficient? And we've done this exercise at Triangle a couple of times. I've done, give me the 1%, which is basically look at all departments and say, give me 1% back that we're spending on the P&L. Can you do that this year? And that's a hard exercise, and we don't always do that, and we don't always win. But the fact that just going back through your business and looking for those efficiency leaks, that's another way that you can keep pace with inflation. Because the fact is if you shop your market, which you should be doing, and you're in the upper 80, 90% of pricing, and you're a little nervous about it, well, you can still do other things, which means that, you know, you can look at your efficiency and still keep pace with inflation. But what you shouldn't do is not increase prices and not attack efficiency, because what that's going to turn into is less money for you. Would you agree with that?
By the way, routing has the same effect as price increase. And usually you can squeeze many points out of your routing.
Yes.
And if you feel like your market can't handle any more price increases or you're nervous that way, increase your route efficiency and that'll have the same effect.
And sometimes that may mean cutting off the finger. And what I mean by that is that last year when we did this, we tightened up our service area and we got rid of some customers. And I mean, I hated to do it, but in the end, it ended up making us more money. And so that may be another option. But in any case, I digress. Let's get back to the main economy here. So let's talk about what's happening now. So big picture, according to Donnie, this is what I'm seeing happening. Number one is that inflation is still going. It's at 3%. It's not awful, like Dan said, but the fact is it's not going down. And you got to remember, this is on top of already a ton of inflation over the last 2 years. And so, you know, everyone's like, oh, the economy is going to take off. The Feds are going to, you know, they're going to decrease rates, because the idea was the Feds increased interest rates to slow inflation, which they have slowed it, not as much as they would like. And they promised, what was it, 3 rate cuts or something like that. They promised that they were going to bring it down. I don't think, again, this is, by the way, this is pure speculation, what I'm getting ready to say now. I don't know that they're going to continue to cut if inflation is over their target.
I believe that Jay Powell and all of his merry men need to keep their mouth shut. Because
it's right, they've created expectations.
You just look at the stock market, you can trade on their words.
Yes,
and it's just all you're doing is making people crazy.
Yes.
You know, you
Yes,
can't
you are
manage
correct. That's so funny you said
you can't manage a blizzard, you know, minute to minute. It
that.
just doesn't work. But
Yes.
that's my own opinion. So.
Well, there's this expectation that rates are going to be cut. And I, you know, again, if you look at the data, if I were running the economy, which by the way, no one's asked me to, and certainly I don't get my opinion asked about economic things. But if I were doing it and inflation's not where it needs to be, the last thing I'm going to do is cut rates to make it even more, right? That doesn't make any sense at all. So,
Well,
you know,
that's
betting
the
on.
argument of why the economy cranked the last, 8 years or 10, is because the steroids that the economy took, and those steroids, once they stop, you know what happens when you stop taking steroids. And so
You
people are
don't
looking
have
for the
roid rage
next,
anymore. I don't know what.
right? Well, but that's right. So if you start the easing again, more steroids, right? So,
Right. Yeah.
yeah.
No, it definitely. So there's, you know, there's this whole thing of inflation is still pretty strong. It's not as bad as it was. The labor market has not slowed down one bit. Those are all signs of a great economy. They really are. Now let's talk about. I'm going to just use kind of a micro, just kind of a micro view. I can tell you, at least at Triangle, our pest is, I mean, it's not great. It's not awful, but it's not like blowing up. Now it's early in the season and I'm very, very short-sighted in saying this now. But so far this year, you know, our sales have not been super strong. Our cancels are slightly higher than what they should be. It's just not crazy, right? It's not like, you know, like for example, like COVID, where it was like we couldn't keep up with demand. We were 2 weeks out, our cancels were almost nil. We were, you know, new sales just going crazy. We're not that now. And you know what? There may be someone listening to this in some markets like, whatever, you know, our sales are double what they were and we don't have any problems with cancels. I don't know. But I've talked to quite a few folks and it seems to be I'm not the only one in this boat. So I don't know what you've heard on the street there, Dan, but that's kind of that's our little corner of the universe.
I've heard the same thing, but I also looked at the pest index, which was up 14% last month,
Yes.
and year over year, which is, we're getting to a point where the price increase thing is not the catalyst for it.
Right.
So that's
You
a good
can't
thing.
ride
You
it.
you're also hearing the Rollins earnings call where they're saying that organic's a little bit better than, what they were thinking. So I don't know, but I think. I'm not sure if you want to jump to this on the outline, but I think we're in a new world
As if
of
we
pest
follow the
control.
outline, Dan. So
Right.
yes, let's
Well,
just go.
but here's the thing, right? In 2015, PCT Magazine had an article where they estimated the door-to-door total revenue in door-to-door was about 250 million. I can tell you just by the people I know and our clients, it's over $2 billion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, specialty consultants, if you follow Gary Curl, I guess he just came out with his estimate of what the industry is, and it's about 12 billion, right? So I'm going to say that I don't know. What do you think? Maybe 20, 25% of the industry now is door to door.
It,
And
yeah.
if you feel like you're losing customers, that could be it. By the way, I'm not saying door to door is good or bad. Actually, I believe that it's good for the
I
industry
think it's
because
expanding the market.
yeah, that's
Yeah.
exactly right. Right. So
Yeah.
half of the sales that they make, they take away from their competitors. The other half are people who didn't even realize professional pest control was a thing that you could buy, right? So they're expanding the market. And I actually think the specialty consultants' estimate of the market is low.
You think
I
it's
don't, I don't,
conservative?
I think, yeah, I think it's higher.
Well, I mean, here's what I'll say. I'm not gonna say door to door is good or bad because depending on who's running it's both,
That's
right? I
true.
mean,
Right.
there are definitely companies out there that are started by door to door salespeople that know nothing about pest control. They give the industry a bad name, they sell like crazy, and then they try to find some schmuck like Donnie Shelton to sell to. Because they want to dump the database and of customers and then leave someone else holding the bag. That is very common. In fact, it was really common when they first got in this market. But there's some real players now doing door to door and doing it well and servicing well. And so I do believe that it is putting pressure on our market. And I do believe that it's something that it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. Is it going to take over, you know, pest? I don't think so, but I do think it's going to be a very, I mean, I just think it's here to stay. I mean, I don't
think if you look at the PCT 100 more and more each year, more and more door-to-door companies are going to be on that for sure, as they already are. And like top 10, there's a bunch of them there, right?
Right. So, for sure. For sure. So there's increased competition. So
is it the economy taking away your business or is it
another? I just suck. Don't you know that, Dan? Like, I just suck. That's all it is. So yes. No, I, you know, here's the thing too. Again, it's kind of early for me to be saying that. It's, you're recording this on April 8th. This is not the time for pest anyway. In our market, you know, we don't really kick off until May. You know, late May is when we really start kicking up. And so I will see then, and we can probably do another episode maybe in the fall just to kind of see if that's really the case. Because, you know, I've had some years where we blew it out in the spring. We had a really mediocre summer. And in the fall, we just killed it, right? I've had other years where we didn't have anything going on in the spring. Midsummer, it's like, you know, the doors are coming off. And in the fall, it was pretty. So who knows, right? there's no way of knowing until we get a little bit more data. The main thing to look at now is like, okay, well, this is what's happening with the economy. And for me, like when I look at the economy, there's really two things that I'm concerned about. Number one is price increases. Is it viable? If so, what does it look like? The second one is cancels. Like what ramifications? And that's kind of, it's kind of related to price increases as well, because ultimately that cancel rate is the key to growth. You know, you have to watch that cancel rate, because if you can keep it low, it gets super easy to grow. If you don't keep an eye on it, it gets really hard to grow. And so when I look at the economy, the main thing I'm trying to figure out is like, okay, are there risk out there for cancels? Now, door-to-door drives cancels.
Right. So before door-to-door,
and they're very good at coaching.
Your competition wasn't driving cancels unless you were looking for somebody.
Right.
But they're on your door saying, cancel, hire me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
no, that definitely has, you know, and, you know, they get coached on, your customers get coached on what to say. And so they're competitors, man. There's no doubt about it. There's
they
no doubt
are.
About
and
it. So
and all's fair in love and business. And
all's fair. So let's hit a different gear here. Let's talk about like, okay, so now it's 2024. We know what's going on with the economy, which basically means that we don't know, because no one knows.
No one knows and nobody. Right.
No, everyone who said there's going to be a recession, it didn't happen. Everyone said the economy is just going to go gangbusters, but that didn't really happen either. It's just plodding along, growing and doing its thing. And, you know,
I had a, you know, well, I'll tell the story in a little while. Go ahead.
You can't do that. Go ahead now. Let's go.
How do you keep a dummy in suspense? I'll tell you tomorrow. it's kind of interesting, you know, the whole door-to-door versus traditional marketing thing. It's just a whole new strategy that you have to do. I had a client call me and just, you know, rip me up because I work with door-to-door companies, and I'm like, you know, that's part of the industry. That's the way it rolls, you know. And you're always going to have low ballers. But one thing that I will say about most door-to-door companies, they sell at higher prices. So it's not like they're in there low-balling you, which is
Oh, you mean on the, okay, I was thinking M&A, but you're talking about contract.
No, on the doors.
Yeah. And that's because usually there's a pretty good incentive for them to sell higher.
Absolutely. but as far as the M&A, there's more acceptance happening now. Mm-hmm. That, you know, especially after the Fox deal and whatnot, the people
A lot of those companies that are, I think it's getting easier to see, whereas before I think door to door got, and I don't want to turn this episode into the door to door episode, but you know, before they kind of got put into a box because they were pretty, you know, the stereotypical one was the, you know, the guy who was selling the door says, hey, I'm going to start my own pest control company, goes out, sells a bunch of accounts, can't service them well, or doesn't service them at all. and then sells, and then someone gets holding the bag, which they end up, canceling like half the customer base. And so that was just like not much value at all. But now that we've got like some proven companies that have shown that they can grow that fast with door to door and keep the cancel rate in check, that certainly has created a different, I think a different dynamic as far as what the perception of door to door companies are. But let's talk about now, like, okay, so it's 2024. I know like the economy's like all over the place. What do I do, right? How do I get ready for 2024? I can talk a little bit about what my take is on this and kind of how I'm going to proceed. And then we can kind of get into recommendations from there. Because not everyone is Triangle. Not everyone's my size. There's folks who are bigger than me. There's folks who are smaller than me in terms of revenue. And so I can tell you for us right now, we are staying the course. We have a pretty aggressive marketing plan in place right now. We're running that plan. We're spending a lot of money. Our lawn this season has just been off the hook. It has just been unreal how much lawn we have sold. It's been,
How are you doing that? Are you cross marketing
we
or?
are, and we're we are using direct mail along with mass media.
Is it working?
It is
Oh,
working.
holy mackerel. A few years
No.
ago, it was off the charts great. And then I just heard the last couple of years, it just doesn't work.
No. Well, for us, and again, now listen, my lawn side is a little bit smaller. So if my lawn was sitting at 10 million by itself or something like that, I might be like, oh, well,
Well, what's your cost per lead for, and what's
yeah,
your
cost
closing
per
rate?
lead. So it's not great. I mean, it's like, 270-ish, but it's still doable. Right. I mean, compared to what we were doing in digital. So we're doing mass media, we're doing some mailing, and we're doing some digital. Out of those three, the mailer has been most productive. But again, don't take that to the bank and be like, we're mass mailing now, because they all work in tandem, right? I mean, when I was running another company, marketing company, one of the biggest challenges I had was attribution. And companies who did mass marketing did much better online, and I was happy to take all that credit. But anyway, so what that means
Right.
is that people hear about say on TV or radio or some other channel, but then their last source may be internet. And so even though you market in your database as web, it could absolutely had something to do with something else that you do. And so I take that back to the postcards, right? The postcards did very well, but it also has a lot of support. So in any case, lawn has been great. Pest has not been great. Our plan is this year, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, we're not in a massive growth year. And really, I've just been rebuilding our team and really focused on that. We're almost done with that. We are still growing the business, but I'm being a pretty conservative because I didn't feel like the business itself, and by the way, this has nothing to do with the economy. We are, they talk about these glass. Kind of these glass ceilings that you run into in businesses. And I just hit one of those. And so we're just getting through that. And we had to rebuild for that. I feel like we're in a good spot for that. But I did not want to throw on a ton of gas in the middle of that, because I feel like it would not do well, because that's what I did last year, and it melted down. So this year, pretty conservative. And I feel like it's a good year to be conservative because of all the uncertainty with the economy. Now, maybe that's just me telling myself a lie, or maybe that's just me making excuses. I'm not sure. I'm not telling you that's what you should do. Obviously, you should look at your own numbers, but I will say this. This growth that we're seeing, and all this consumer spending and all this good stuff that you're seeing, don't forget there's also another number that's going along with that. And I'm going to quote an article, and I'll put this article up on
Are you talking
show
about
notes.
consumer debt?
Yes, it says this, and this is coming from the Fed. This is a strong economy. Make no mistake. By the way, I'm quoting right now. It's backed by debt and somewhat overburdened credit cards, but it is a strong economy, so the Fed will struggle to find the case to
This
cut
is
rates soon.
why we live in the greatest country in the world, because when you run out of money, you just put
You
it on a
just
credit
borrow more.
card. You just borrow more. And
Yeah.
by the way, there is a counter argument to that, right? So the balance sheet of a $100,000 company is a lot different than a $20 million company. The balance sheet of the US government 20 years ago is a lot different than it is now. I'm not saying that all this debt is a good thing, but it's not as long as the economy, the P&L is the growth of the economy, the balance sheet is this debt thing,
Strength.
right?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Yeah.
so
Yeah. So I mean, I guess that's a long way of saying, you know, for us, and again, we're bringing it really back to you, the listener here. My take on it is that we're going to stay the course for now. Come May and June, I'm going to like really take a good look at what's happening, and then I'm going to make adjustments from there. That's because it falls in line with my season. Now, there may be some listeners who are in South Florida who are already well into their season. Maybe they're already seeing that, hey, this is great. There's probably some folks up north that probably need to wait a little bit longer. But for now, I am cautiously optimistic. I am not, you know, I don't think that this is going to be a banner year in terms of demand. I'm not seeing it online so far. Demand is increasing, but it's not like going gangbusters at all. So there's that, right? You know, being able to spend all of my budget has been a challenge, quite frankly, mainly because of demand. And so I'm going to be cautiously optimistic and ready to cut in a moment's notice. I mean, I made sure that this year, especially with marketing, I didn't get into anything I could not get out of within 30 days. So that was one of my key requirements. So I'll turn it over to you, Dan. What are your thoughts? If you're a small business owner, you know, you're running a pest lawn company,
I
what should
mean,
you do
I
according
think
to
you
Dan
should run
Gordon?
your business the same way, whether the economy is good or bad, and then take advantage of, opportunities when it's good, right? So,
Well, do you remember this back when we started the, we didn't even have the podcast back, how this podcast got started. And I was hammering home, do not stop marketing. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
cause everyone was pulling back. Like, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to stop. And I'm like, absolutely not. I'm like, everything, all the prices are down, like go hard right now. And so you're right. But I think the difference between what Dan just said and what I just said, it's actually the same thing. It's just like, I have just imagine a loaded gun with the hammer back, and as soon as I see something that's bad, it's like it's out. So Dan's saying just keep going. I'm saying keep going. I'm just saying like I'm ready to bail if something doesn't go the way I want it to go, or I start seeing something turned down that I
Well,
don't like.
so you're talking about marketing and what I'm saying, just from a, make sure that you focus on cash flow in general.
Absolutely.
Marketing is
Yes.
part of that, right? So
100%. Yes.
it's important to have reserves in case it's a rainy day.
Yeah.
And by the way, rainy days happen in good economies,
They
literally
do.
in our business. When if it rains for a week or two, then you've got to slow down.
And let's be real here. It doesn't matter what economy we're talking about. The only economy that matters is your economy. And
That's
some
right.
people are in a position where they've got a lot of cash and they've got a lot of flexibility. There's other folks who don't have a lot of cash, and the economy can be going great. Guess what? You don't, that's it's just not your time to go out on the field and get clocked, you know, get your bell clocked, because the fact is it can knock you out. And so you just need to make sure, that's a great reminder, Dan, is like, you know, you absolutely need to prioritize your cash flow. You need to make sure that it's solid and that it's right. Because look, you were right about everyone saying that, yes, you know, the economy is going to, it's all the bubble's going to burst. Well, the fact of the matter is it did. And it did have an impact on our industry. I mean, we did get bed bugs, but that helped us, that
Yeah,
saved
back
us
then. And
back
then it
then.
did crack during COVID for about a day and a half when I sold my stock portfolio, and then it boomed back up in my face.
Yes,
And
but my point here is that, you know, like you said, there will be rainy days, and you know, let's not let go of the fundamentals. And you're right, don't let the economy and all the news and all the hype drive your day-to-day decisions. Again, the only economy that matters is your economy, but you do need to pay attention. It makes sure you understand what's going on a macro level, because you know, there are years where I'm a little bit more aggressive and I'm willing to take more risk in terms of cash flow than others. This happens to be a year that I'm not willing to take that big of a risk on cash flow. I'm going to make sure that the fundamentals of the business can always generate positive cash. And I mean, positive operational cash flow. I'm talking about after you pay all your debts and the stuff like that, like cash going to the bank. There might be another year, like in terms of COVID, like when we started dumping money in marketing and it was going so great, I was willing to take a lot of risk, because I mean, it was just like I could see it. You know, the numbers were bearing it out. So, okay, so there's cash flow. What else would you recommend?
Well, obviously, provide the best service that you can. You've got to have exceptional customer service because everybody has that, right? So you've got to be better than everybody else. Well, that's what you hear, right? When you
This is
listen for
what
the
you hear.
commercials, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first here. Just don't
Everybody
suck.
has,
Yeah.
yeah, don't suck.
So,
But if you think about it, and this is really terrible. This is also what makes this country amazing. Well, All you got to do is show up and stay, and you have a good shot at winning, you know? That's
Yeah, I do think that, it sounds so crazy, but the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of companies, even in our industry, that struggle with this. And what makes us struggle is either A, lack of procedures, or B, lack of people. And you take those two. In some cases, you have both. And if you have both, it gets really difficult. But I would say if you are struggling on the people side, or if you're struggling on the procedural side or whatever, and you'll know this, right? I mean, look at your reviews, look at what your customer's doing, look at your cancel rate. If that's the case, it may be a time for you to just back up and fix that and to plug that hole, because the last thing you want to do is scale a broken model. You don't want to add money to that. So,
well, like you were saying, that this year you're just going to kind of take it easy and not throw gas on the fire, which makes sense when you don't have a when your base isn't rock solid. You're in this that this is a it's a jog, it's not a sprint, and be careful of
My thing is I just don't want to. The last thing I want to do is scale broken. You know what I mean? I don't want to do that. So, and then, one other thing I would mention, and we put this here on our outline, but this whole idea of financial planning, one of the most difficult things I think that we have as owners and managers is that you just never have black and white decisions in front of you. You never have all the data. You don't know what's going to happen. And so what that turns into is that you can't just make a plan and execute the plan. You've got to have the plan, and then you got to have backup plan B, backup plan C, backup plan. You know what I mean? Like, because if it goes this way, then I'm going to do. So I think doing the work of having these contingency plans. I mean, let's just say, we get mid-year and the Fed doesn't drop the rates, all this anticipation that people have, and then all of a sudden inflation takes off, and then, who knows, right? That could be bad for cancels. That could be bad for sales, because luckily, pest control, I'm speaking pest control only now, I feel like is pest control is a lot less susceptible to economic changes than lawn care. Lawn care is pretty solid as well, but if I had to stack two against, if I had to stack them one against the other, when it comes to absorbing those shock waves, I would be on pest any day of the week. Now, lawn care has its strengths as well. Dan, you can disagree with me on that, but the fact is that even in a bad economy, most people don't cancel their pest, but it gets very
We
difficult to
saw in
sell.
2008 and 2009, lawn didn't really go backwards either. And, that kind of surprised me because I thought that like pest isn't always discretionary, right? If you've got a baby in a cradle and there's a wasp's nest or a bee's nest, you got to do something. If there's bed bugs in your house, you got to do something, right? But lawn, we didn't see that big of a, a retreat. And somebody explained it to me this way, and you could maybe not. They said that during a recession, women's makeup actually sells more because it's a cheap way for somebody to feel good. And having a green lawn is also a cheap way for somebody to feel good.
I
That
have not heard
I
that.
don't, yeah, that's so
Yeah.
that's 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 one of the things. The other thing on just on a macro financial planning from, what are you doing with your investments and whatnot. Don't always think that the wealth advisors are the smartest guys in the room. I've got probably about 10 of them who run wealth for a whole bunch of clients, and they were all around 3% last year. 3% probably isn't bad since the NASDAQ was up almost 30%. And these guys are yelling at each at our clients saying, "I'm the better guy." And I'm like, "No, dude, you should have just invested and what you thought you should have invested and put your money in the market, and you would have done just fine." But so sometimes
No, hang on. I have
what
to say
but
this, because you just saying that, it just, I'm going to link this article up. It's freaking hilarious. If you've not heard this, if you've heard it, then you can bypass this. But there's a famous, when you said it reminded me of that famous little experiment that professor did in Princeton. Do you remember this, where he gets like, I think he gets like 100 monkeys, and he had them throw darts at stocks? And they did no better, but
right.
no worse than professional. Seriously.
But be careful of trusting that smartest guy in the room because, especially when it comes to your business and your industry, you've got a lot of experience. And there are, a lot of guys, have good gut feelings in this industry about how things are going to go. So, when you pay all this money for this advice, it might not always, unless you're calling PCO bookkeepers, then.
Only the best here, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
Only the
right.
best. But
That's
no,
right.
I am going to link
that
up
was a
this.
cheap plug.
It was a cheap plug, and he just led us all into it. And then at the end, just. But I am going to link up this article because it is pretty funny that basically what the guy does is he's a professor, and he blindfolds these monkeys and he has them throw darts and he hits stocks and that's what they buy. And at the end of the year, I think it was a year or 5 year period, basically. They perform the same as professional fund managers. And so it just goes to show you, just because someone has a degree and has a nice thing behind their name, this market is just, I mean, I think AI is going to help a little bit, maybe, but at the end of the day, the market's driven on fear and greed,
That's
and you
it.
just don't know what people, I mean, people are unpredictable. At least that's what we think until AI comes in and shows that they were all just a bunch of monkeys. But anyway, all righty.
Did the monkeys get the 1% management
They
fee
did
on the
not get the management
portfolio?
fee, although I think
So they
that's a lot of
probably
bananas if they'd have gotten that.
outperformed.
That's for sure, man. They would have done quite well. They would have done quite well. So,
Nice.
all righty. Well, anything else to add here, Dan? I think this has been a
I
good
think we're
update.
good.
You know, I think again, if you're in the industry and you're listening to this and you're kind of wondering where things are going, I'm not going to tell you what to think. I know for me, I'm again cautiously optimistic, and certainly. We'll take advantage of, if our numbers are in the slot and our cost per lead is looking good, we'll keep going. Again, for me personally, I'm not in a massive growth year. I don't want to do that. But at the same time, I would definitely be keeping my eye on what my numbers are doing in my local economy, like what's happening with my close rate, what's happening with my cancel rate, what's happening with my cost per lead, cost per sell, those types of things. And then just sticking to the fundamentals, kind of like what Dan was saying, making sure that you protect your cash flow generation capability. And if you're struggling there, this year would be a great year to clean that up because I don't this
And
isn't
by the way, those who are saying, geez, the economy's no good and everything, and this is not a political statement at all. What I can tell you is our accounting firm this year, the tax planning and preparation piece of it, I was seeing guys in this industry and gals in this industry making more money than they've ever made. They probably worked harder than they ever have, but there's a ton of money being made in this industry. And so our economy, there may be inflation, but our economy is pretty good, I think.
100%. 100% agree with that. Well, folks, you managed to do it again. You wasted yet another 40 minutes with Dan and I. We always appreciate any ratings and reviews that you can give us, unless they're negative. And if they are negative, we ask that you direct those at Dan. But all the topics that we talked about, even the little monkey experiment that I talked about, is going to be available. Just take a look under show notes for this episode. It's on PMPIndustryInsider.com. And with that, we're signing off. We'll see you all next time. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.